Praise the Lord. I sure count it an honor to be here. Take your Bible, turn with tonight to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. While you turn there, I just want to kind of introduce myself. My name is Scotty Hardison with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Been here in Kentucky for about a year now, working in juvenile prisons. And just ask y'all to pray for us as God continues to open doors. Got to work in about 10 different juvenile prisons right now, about 5 different adult prisons. Once we get all the training done anyway, so ask y'all to continue to work, pray for us. I heard a message the other day out of 1 Chronicles chapter 11 talking about the mighty men of David. And as I was reading through it, I got to reading that week on the same chapter. And I come across chapter 12, and verse 1 says, "Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war." And I'm sure you've all been there as you're reading the Word of God. Sometimes just a phrase just jumps out at you. And I got to think about that word, the helpers of the war. You know, I think sometimes we as preachers, we want to be that mighty man. But sometimes God just wants us to be that helper among the war. Now, you got to read them among the mighty men, and I got to read them those names of those helpers of the war. And I got to find some of those helpers of the war were brothers of the mighty men. And they were from the same families and from the same places. They weren't the mighty men, but they were just as necessary as the mighty men. You know, I got to thinking about us as Christians today. How many times we get our mind on us, and we can't serve God properly because it becomes not about God, but about us. When you become a helper, you don't care about you. You're looking to make somebody else look good. Can I tell you something? As us as Christians and us as preachers, it shouldn't be about us, about making us look good, about building a name for ourselves, but about Christ. With the help of God, I just want to bring you a message about what we can do to help the mighty man. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I just want to come to Your throne of grace today, Lord. Lord, I sure stand in need of Your help today. Lord, I do ask You to give me the words to say. Lord, I just ask You to touch us today. Lord, I ask You to have Your will and way in all that is said. Lord, don't let me say anything that wouldn't be pleasing to You, Lord. Lord, help me be a help to the each and every one that's here today. Lord, I want to praise You and thank You for all that You've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says, as I got to reading these and studying these verses, it says, they were among the mighty men. You know, you look around at any church, and I thank God for churches like this, been around 40 years standing on the truth. I look around at preachers, and some of you, I've heard of you, got reputations and testimonies of being great men of God. But can I tell you something? Every one of those mighty men of God, You read about those mighty men and the mighty acts they've done. Not one of them. I guarantee you, as they were doing those mighty things, they didn't think it as anything great. They were just going about the business that God laid in front of them. You know, I think you've heard it said many times, to be a great leader, you got to first be a great follower. To be a great Christian, to be a great leader of Christians, to be a great pastor, to be a great preacher, you first got to be led first. You know, and I tell you, it ain't always following a man. I believe sometimes it's easy to get caught up following a person, I'm not talking about following a person. I'm talking about following Christ. Following the Holy Spirit. How many times do we get caught up in our programs and the things going on, and we forget about God in our everyday life and in our services? You know, I got to think about, if you go on verse 2 there in this chapter, it says, "And they were armed with bows, and they could use the both the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of the bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin." You know, these were men that obviously were experienced. They practiced. You don't shoot, I've done a little bit of bow hunting. You don't shoot a bow accurately without practicing it. You can't shoot a sling with the right hand or left hand without practicing. I was thinking, my son's playing basketball this year, and he's trying to learn how to dribble left-handed. It's tough. But can I tell you something? It's like anything else. I keep telling you, it's going to take time. Can I tell you something? To be the Christian that God wants us to be, it ain't going to happen overnight. You know, sometimes we see these young Christians, we see somebody get saved, and you see, you know, it's amazing to me what some people come out of. I think sometimes we as Christians, and I was raised in church, I was saved when I was 11 years old, and raised in a Christian home, and I praise God for that. But you look at some of the situations so many people were raised in today, it's hard for me to understand how they live in those conditions. And when you see them get saved out of those conditions, we want to see change immediately. And I will say, there should be change, but we want to see them what we are. It don't work that way. It takes time. These mighty men, that they had been in the service of the army for years, but these helpers of the war were just like that. They didn't get the credit. The mighty men did. But they're just as necessary. I got to think about our churches. How we're supposed to be helpers of one another. You know, it's not about my ministry or about your ministry, because it's not either one of ours. It's God's ministry. As we're serving the Lord, it shouldn't be about what's in it for me. I heard a definition one time of a servant. A servant is somebody who's serving somebody else without any desire for credit. How many times in our life do we want to do something, we want to get the credit for it, but God came as a servant. He came to make our life better. Can I tell you, He told us to have that same mind for us to come to this earth and to live our life and not think about what's in it for me, but Lord, what's in it for You? How can I help somebody else today? You know, I think about how many times my time in the ministry, how, I guess like anybody, you come to the place, sometimes you just want to quit. I hope I'm not the only one, but there's many times I woke up and just wish I could say, look, I'm done. But you know, how many times when I was in that place, somebody picked up the phone and called me. I said, brother, I just want to tell you I've been praying for you. I remember one time, we've been going through some hard times and different things in my life, and I phone rang that day, and one of the other men with the ministry called me and said, Brother Scott, I just want to tell you, I've been praying for you today. I had you on my heart. Later on that day, a pastor, one of my supporting churches, called, Brother Scott, I just want to let you know, I had you on my heart. Can I tell you something? I learned a lesson through that. That God wants me to be an encouragement to other people. You know, the Bible tells us that we should dwell together in unity. You know, I believe that if we're as Christians are walking where we're supposed to be walking, God will show us who needs that phone call. There's times God's allowed me to call somebody and say, hey, I just want to let you know, you've been on my heart today. And they go, brother, I sure am glad you did that, because I sure have been going through some hard times. You know, we're quick many times to jump on each other. When you hear somebody struggling, you go, man, I've heard people almost attack them because they're struggling. You know what? God's telling us to be an encouragement to them. To stand behind each other in the fight and fight along with them. These mighty men, they got the credit. They were the captains. They were the leaders. But they can't do it without the helpers. As I read these chapters, God asked me the question, who have I helped today? You ever ask yourself, who have you helped today? What have you done to be a help to the cause of Christ today? I tell the kids in the prisons all the time, you're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Can I tell you, as far as the cause of Christ, you're part of the problem or part of the solution. You're either making things better or making things worse. You ain't just sitting there by yourself. You're having an effect on people around you every day. There's people, when I see them coming, you almost want to run from them because you know you're going to hear every bad thing that's ever happened to them. Can I tell you, that's sad. I'll never forget going in. We were in, me and my family went in the church in North Carolina. We were there visiting and come into service. And as the choir came down, a lady stopped in front of us and said, "It sure is good to have somebody smiling in church today." I thought, oh my, if you can't smile in church, where can you smile? If you can't be an encouragement to each other in the house of God, where can you be a help to each other at? I don't know about y'all, but I love coming to church. I love coming to meetings like this because I need help. But you know, as Christians, we should be that help. You know, I got to think about how we can be that help. And I got to think about prayer. How we can be a help to each other by praying for each other. There's no doubt in my mind there's churches that pray for us. I can feel it. There's times that I know there's a little lady in the church that I grew up in there in Virginia. She's 98 years old. She's about 4 feet tall. And every time I see her, she'll pat me on the face. So, Brother Scotty, I've been praying for you. I wouldn't take all the money in the world for that lady praying for me. That church was looking for a pastor. And I heard her say it. She wasn't bragging. She was just talking. She said, now remember, she's 98 years old. She says she laid in the floor of her bedroom all night long on her face, praying that God would send them the right pastor. I'll take that prayer all the time. You know, I got to think about how God's the prayers, the greatest tool we have, how many times we don't use it. How many times in our life the greatest tool that God's given us, we neglect it? Preacher already said it. How many times we lay in bed at night worrying when we could be praying? You know, I got to think about how many times in bad situations. A few months ago we were in a car wreck and just minutes before the wreck happened, my wife got a text from our pastor's wife, said, "Would you want to let you know we're praying for you?" It didn't stop the wreck, but it kept us from getting hurt. Think about how bad there was a tractor trailer that stopped behind us, less than 3 feet behind us. The driver of the truck said they had just emptied the load. Emptied their truck a few miles down the road, and if they were full, said she would have probably not stopped within another 30 feet. Our van's, 15 foot long? Probably would have killed us. You know, how many times have we got people that we know are going through battles that we don't pray for? We hear about people having struggles and we don't pray for them. You know, I think about how many people we know every day. There's not a Christian that's not going through a battle. I guarantee you, every pastor sitting here is going through a battle of some kind. If you're not, you're getting ready to. That's the Christian life. We need to pray for each other. We need to be the helper of the war. You know, you got to think of how we should pray for one another. That prayer, before I moved to Kentucky, the church I was a member of in North Carolina, we started having prayer meetings on Friday nights, probably 15, 20 years ago. And that church, when we started having those prayer meetings, was running 50 people. We started having those prayer meetings, and over those years, that church is running almost, I guess, probably between 350 and 400 people now. We're having just about as many show up for prayer meeting on Friday night as was in the church when we started the prayer meetings. Prayer works. But how many times do we have that greatest tool and we leave it sitting to the side? We can help in prayer. I got to thinking about how preacher already talked about the fellowship. Being together with each other. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I've been in church all my life, and I've seen churches that were not in unity. I've seen churches that were. There's not even a comparison. In all the time we've been on deputation, and all the many churches you go to, you can walk in the doors of the church and know pretty quick if there's unity there or not. The whole spirit changes. We walked into church one day and it was like cold. It was, words can't describe it. You walk in there and everything's dead. We got in there that night, and we were there on one week, and the next week I heard they voted the pastor out. That it was pretty accurate. But can I tell you something? I'm glad that don't happen many times. I love coming to church. I felt it here today. You walk in and it's a bunch of churches represented here today for one cause, and that's Christ. Can I tell you something? We better gather. Use the friends that we have. Use each other to help each other. You know, and I can tell you, all that goes out the window if we start getting jealous of one another. If we start, well, that church is bigger than our church, and comparing each other. Can I tell you something? God blesses the way He sees fit. I know great men of God that pastor little churches and great men of God that pastor big churches. You know, I got to think of how it's not our job to decide who's the mighty man or who's the helper. Our job is to do what God's called us to do. There's not a pastor here that can make it without those men and women in the church that pray. There's not a pastor or a preacher that can get anything done without those people that pray. Yeah, I think sometimes we almost get it things out of balance that everybody should be a certain way. But I don't know about you, but I'm glad God's called every one of us to be different. Every preacher has a different style. Be yourself, but be what God wants you to be. Be the man that God wants you to be. Be the lady that God wants you to be. I love the message. I'm talking about the doctrines of the Bible. Can I tell you something? We better honor the doctrines of the Bible, but I believe He said He calls us as individuals. You look at the 12 disciples. You look at the group of men that was there. You got fishermen. You got publicans. And you got people from all walks of life. And God called them all to one purpose. even in the 12 disciples, you had some that Peter, James, and John were the closer group. But does it make the others any less important? You know, I got to think about, as it comes through here, it says they were armed with bows and they could hurl stones and they could shoot arrows. You know, I got to think about how God's told us, maybe not a stone, but He's given us a sword. Can I tell you something? Every one of us sitting here today should know how to use this Bible. It's not just for the preachers. You know, I think the problem with a lot of us not being sound in the doctrine is people don't study the Bible the way God's told us to study the Bible. And I'm not talking about just the preachers. I'm talking about every one of us sitting here. We don't pray the way we should. We don't study the way we should. I'm going to tell you something. You can't be a help to somebody without the Word of God. I've heard people talking about giving all these different programs and all these... I got a brother that spent a lot of... almost 30 years of his life using drugs. Now, I've seen him... He went through every 12-step program and everything they could to try to quit using drugs. But then I seen God to get a hold of his heart. Seen my brother get saved, and within a few weeks, my brother getting saved and starting reading the Bible, my brother was clean. For 9 years now, my brother's not used drugs, not because of a program, but because of the Word of God. He called me this year. He said, "Scott, I just want to tell you something." He said, "They've asked me to teach Sunday school. That might not be nothing to anybody else here, but I'm going to tell you something." To see my brother go from the dumpsters to a Sunday school teacher. Can I tell you something? That's what the Word of God will do. That's the one thing we leave out. So many times in our life, I'm not talking about, well, I read my four chapters today and I'm going to get my Bible read through in a year and everybody's going to pat me on the back. I'm going to say I read my Bible through again. I'm talking about getting to where you read it until God tells you something. I don't know about y'all, I've read my Bible many times, many days, and put it down and walked away and couldn't tell you what I read. I'm not talking about those days. I'm talking about the day you read it and you can't put it down. You may only read one verse, but you can't walk away from it because God's speaking to you. And can I tell you something? It seems like every time that happens, somebody along the course of your path, God puts somebody in your path that has a question. And you'll be able to, hey, can I tell you what God done for me when I was dealing with that? You know, I believe God wants us to be studied in the Word of God so we can use that. He said, "My Word will not return void." Our words will. We've said a lot of words sometimes that don't mean a thing, but God's Word, I don't care where you say it, He's given us the promise of it coming back. You know, I do my best to try to share the Scripture with people as I talk to them, as I witness to somebody. I don't just tell them what I think, because what I think sometimes is wrong. But the Word of God is never wrong. You know, He said the helpers were armed. It said they were armed with weapons. You know, I got to think about in these days, they used what they had and made the best of it. You think about those men in the Old Testament days, they weren't given what we have today. We have the whole Word of God. We have the Old Testament and New Testament. We have everything God wanted us to know. We're better armed today than they were then. You know, I think sometimes, though, we get discouraged with the situation. I'll never forget when I was in, after I graduated high school, I was living in Virginia. I wanted to work for the shipyards. We were working one day on a submarine, and they called a meeting about lunchtime that day, and they called us all into a meeting. And that they sent about half of us home and said, y'all are coming back tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going on 24 hours a day. And didn't tell us why. So they sent me home. I had to be back there at 7 o'clock that night. And they said, you're planning on working every weekend or 7 days a week until this job gets done. You know, at the time on the news, you didn't hear nothing about what was going on over in Iran and Iraq during that time. You heard a little bit about it, not much. But as that month went on, you were starting to hear more and more about it. They come in one night, about 2 o'clock in the morning. We were there working on the submarine. They go, we got another meeting. We all went outside to the meeting. They go, y'all need all of us shipyard workers. You got 30 minutes to get your stuff, get off the boat. Somebody be there to tell you. You tell them what's left to be done. And get off, or you're going with it. I don't know about y'all, but I didn't want to go with it, so I got off. That ship left with, by 4 o'clock that morning, they sank that submarine at the pier and it was gone. We're like, what in the world is going on? 2 days later, you heard about Desert Storm started. And when that submarine came back to the shipyards, they said they were the first submarine to shoot the cruise missiles during Desert Storm. You know, a lot of times we're busy. We're not seeing what God's doing. We don't see the big picture. But God's using you in ways you don't see. I had no idea that within a week, the ship that I was working on was going to be sitting in the Mediterranean Sea in the middle of a war. God brought that to my attention as I was reading that the other day. He brought that back to my memory. Is that I didn't see what was going on, but I was helping in a war that I didn't know nothing about. Can I tell you something? Sometimes God's using you in a way you don't see. You're helping somebody you may not even know it. You may not even realize the impact that you're having. But maybe that next person you win be that next great preacher. Maybe that next person you win to the Lord is the next mighty man. You know, sometimes you get discouraged because you're not. I got family that I've been praying for years, and it seems like they just nothing happens. Seems like you invite them to church, you try to talk to them, and they. I got my oldest brother is the only one in my family that's lost. Sometimes I feel like God's not doing anything. But then every once in a while, God will let you see a little bit. He'll ask a question. And God just remind him, hey, I'm still working. You just keep doing what I've told you to do. You know, I got to thinking sometimes we quit because we're not in the spotlight. Because we're not getting the attention. Or maybe we don't even see the big picture. You know, as I was spending my nights on that ship working, I had no idea that ship was going to be part of a war. And not just a part of a war, a difference maker. Can I tell you something? Don't quit on God. Don't get discouraged when everything looks bad. Don't give up. Because you don't know what God's doing on the big picture. He said helpers of the war. How many wars have been won? How many stories have you heard about people that you never heard about that made a difference in a war. Not as the general, but as that lowly private just doing their job.
I heard a story the other day
about a man that was in war,
World War II.
He said that the enemy was coming their way.
He was the leader of a battalion. He told his men to retreat because they were outnumbered, but he stayed.
He said he shot every bullet he had.
And at the last, he had one hand grenade, and he
threw it into the men that were coming at him.
And he called in an airstrike, having them come in, and they bombed the area, and he was killed because the enemy was so close to him. But he stayed there, and it said his stand allowed time for the
Americans to come in and back him up.
It said his death saved hundreds of men's life
because he stood in the battle.
You know, I don't want to be the one who gets patted on the back. But I sure would love to stand before God and God say, "Hey, you made a difference in the war." For Him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." My dad was in the Korean War. My dad was shot during the war. My dad has a Purple Heart. Dad won't even talk about the war. But I've heard him tell stories. Dad's 83 years old. He never mentioned it until the last couple of years. He was talking about, my dad won the Purple Heart and a Medal of Honor because he saved somebody's life during the war. You know, Dad don't talk about it.
You never read about it in the news. But I guarantee for the person whose life was saved, it meant something.
When we stand before God, we might not be the mighty man, but I guarantee the people we lead to the Lord, they'll care. Those young people in the prisons, it means something to them for us to go.
Somebody's got to care about them. Somebody's got to care about the lost. Somebody's got to care about the fight that we're fighting.
David told his brother, said, "Is there not a cause?
We're fighting for a reason."
My question for you today,
ask yourself, God, am I being a help in the war?
I'll never be listed among the mighty men.
But it sure would be an honor for God to recognize me when I get there and say, "God, well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Are you being the servant God wants you to be?